as you read John 1, and I'll read and then I'll stop and we'll see where this goes. But as you read John 1, I heard a preacher say that John 1 is like a movie trailer of what the rest of John is about. So if you got your Bibles and you'll stand, imagine you're reading this for the first time and you don't know who he is. You don't know anything about Jesus. You know, one time people was reading this for the very first time. They had no idea who he was. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Yeah. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of his Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then art thou, Elias or Elijah? And he said, I am not. Art thou the prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us, what sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias or Isaiah. Lord, we love you. God, we're so thankful for your word, God. We're thankful, Lord, that you choose to just dwell with us, Lord, just a bunch of unworthies. God, we're so thankful, Lord. I pray, God, that you'll help us tonight. Lord, that we can get something from your word fresh, something new, Lord. God, and we'll give you the praise for it because you're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Great, great chapter here. It goes on for 51 verses. Lots of good stuff here. But tonight, I wanted to focus a little bit on John the Baptist. Now, to open this book, the Apostle John, he did something similar to Mark. He started with Jesus as an adult. You know, Matthew and Luke, they start with the birth, and they focus heavily on that. But here we pick up, and Jesus is 30 years old. We haven't heard from Jesus in 18 years since he was in the temple teaching the doctors, if you will. The Bible talks about how they went to Jerusalem, or they went wherever they were going, and when they left, they was in a great company, and Mary and Joseph, they got ahead of Jesus. They thought he was behind them. They went a 3 days journey, and when they turned around, after 3 days, they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So there was something different about Jesus. So we have here that 18 years later, 18 years has passed. Jesus, it tells us that he grew in wisdom, understanding. But we come here to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, before we can even get to John the Baptist coming on the scene. The Bible tells us in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Takes me back to Genesis 1 when it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know, Jesus has been since the beginning. You know, but we don't truly understand that beginning. You know, our minds, we can't wrap it around. You know, we think of the beginning as Genesis 1. You know, before Genesis 1:1 happened, God already was. I don't know what he was doing. He might have even been thinking about me. I don't know, but he had it all planned. So we can't even fathom the beginning because we don't understand the beginning. God's just always been. That's how great he is. So we have here the end beginning, Jesus. It says that, it goes on to say that the Word, and it says that we know that Jesus was from the beginning because in Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our own image. Jesus and the Holy Ghost had to be part of that us. It can't just be him. We go on to see, and we see how Jesus and God and the Holy Ghost, they're three in the same. In John chapter 10, Jesus is talking about himself, and the Jews, they start arguing about who he is and all this, and Jesus comes back and says this, I told you, and you believe not, the works that I do in my Father's name that bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep shall hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know, there's nobody can take you away from Jesus. Isn't that great? My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. We go on in these first five verses. We see that Jesus is the maker of all things. And Jesus is the source of our spiritual light. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Amen. So, Jesus needed, or God had a plan for somebody to introduce Jesus. Jesus could have went up and said, hey, I'm God's son. You know, I could go up and act like I'm the best pool builder in the world. And nobody's going to believe that because once I do it, it's going to be lopsided, it's going to leak out or whatever. But God had a plan for somebody to introduce Jesus. And that's what John's doing here. When we get to John, it said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And this was so perfectly planned. It had been in the making for hundreds of years. We know this because Isaiah said, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for God. 700 to 750 years before John ever came on the scene, God had a plan. He laid it out all perfectly so that John could be born because he knew that he needed a forerunner to introduce Jesus. God goes a lot farther. He don't just give us one example. And then 1:23, a verse we just said, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, made straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. So John quotes Isaiah. Malachi 3:1 says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messengers of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come before the host, the Lord of hosts. 400 years before John come on the scene, amen, God sent another messenger, a prophet, to tell us that this was going to happen. And it's so amazing because when the angel of the Lord comes to Zechariah, to Ted Zechariah, to tell him that he and Elizabeth don't have a baby. Again, Zacharias, he tells him, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And they had prayed for a long time for a baby. We know this because the Bible said they was old, well-stricken in age. Elizabeth passed the point of childbearing years, but they're having a baby. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great. That's great right there. It says, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. We'll come back and talk about that in a little bit. And shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's important. I'll show you in a minute why that's important. Even from his mother's womb, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit of and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and to the disobedient, to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. First time the Lord's talked to anybody since Malachi, since the Old Testament has closed. And here he is talking to this. Oh, wow. To top it off, the Lord said, watch this. I know making come from people past the age of childbearing years. That's how our God works. He does the unthinkable, what we think can't be done. He always makes a way. It goes on to... So it talked about there and how he's going to be filled from the Holy Ghost from the mother's womb. The Bible says in Luke 1:41 that when Mary entered the room where Elizabeth was, we know that Mary at this time, she was expecting Jesus. The Bible says that when Mary's salutation, that the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Ain't that something? Jesus really, he was still in the womb. He hadn't made his grand appearance in the earth. He was already influencing people. Isn't it great that we serve a God like that? I don't think any other religion in the world can say that they serve a God like that. He's still in the womb. They can't nobody see him, but she's filled with the Holy Ghost. That blew me away when I saw that this week. So we see here, let's go on. All right, so who is Jesus? Who is this man that John is going to introduce to the world? Well, to start with, it says in verse, it says that John, let's just read. Bear witness to it. I just want to read to find it. I can't see. It's rough to get old. He was in the world. The world said, now he came into his own, but as many received, which was born not of flesh. John bare witness of him. Verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Here, right here, we see that Jesus is the eternal word. Before John got here, Jesus was here. He's going to be here after him. We also see the next verse I love. And of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. You know, Jesus gives us that gift of grace for grace. Every morning it's brand new. Just like those waves when we're at the beach, you know, I love sitting on the ocean or on the... I don't sit on the ocean. I love sitting on the sand under my umbrella with my Pepsi and my Chester Cheetah hot fries. And I love, and I'll read too, but I love sitting there. And you know what? Those waves just come back and forth, back and forth. They never end. You know what? If you at nighttime, if you're on the ocean, if you've got an ocean front, you know what? When you look outside, those waves are doing? They're going back and forth, back and forth. They never stop. That's how God's grace is for us. Every day, he gives us grace. And what's so great about that grace is, we don't do nothing to deserve it. You know, we're just his child. We just ask him for forgiveness. That grace is new every day. Tomorrow morning when I get up, there's going to be more grace. Friday morning when I get up, more grace. If I live to see 2027 when I get up, there's going to be more grace. And he just keeps giving. Nothing I can do can hinder it. He just keeps on giving it. And what's so great about that grace is Jesus had to come to give us that grace. Because back in the day when Moses gave us the law, you know what happened if we broke one law? We broke them all. You know, so if I went in and killed somebody, I did all the other laws too. I broke all them. But Jesus came so that didn't have to happen anymore. Grace for grace. And to show you the verse for that, it's James 2:10. James 2:10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. But you know what? Jesus came to wash all that away. Our sins are under the blood, never be remembered again. He throws them into the sea of forgetfulness, as far as the east from the west. It's amazing that he does that for you and I. John goes on to say, not only did he give us that gift, he's the preferred one, but he is also salvation. John 1:29 says that John saw Jesus coming down the road and he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Wow. No goat, no sheep, no donkey, whatever animal you want to sacrifice ever had the power to do that. Yeah. Every year they had to go to the temple and they had to sacrifice those animals to get those sins under the blood. You know what? Our sins are gone. Yeah. All we call is, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And that Lamb of God cares so much for us that he chooses to talk with us. When Brenda was singing, Skip was talking about, he looked at me and he said, where two or three are gathered, God is, Jesus or the Lord's in the midst of. You know what? There's times I'm coming down the road in my red truck and the Lord just gets all over me. Several weeks ago, might have been several months, I'm almost to Bonnie Henson's. I know it's not called Bonnie Henson's anymore, but it's always going to be Bonnie Henson's. And there's some song on the radio or on the phone or whatever it was, I can't even hardly see because God's all over me. And you know, I'm thinking, wow, he cares enough to ride with me. Yeah. Just me. And that's just so amazing. You know, he'll do the same thing for you. You know, that's just amazing that he cares enough to stop what he's doing and just focus on me. That's just amazing to me. But you know what? He's the salvation giver. Grace for grace. We get grace over and over and over again. So I'm thankful we're no longer under the law. So what's our task? Same as John the Baptist. We got to point others to Jesus. You know what? And we have, there's so much to compete with out there. The world offers so much. So we look at John 1:19, and we'll see. And he said unto them, wrong one. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? They didn't know who John was. He's just a crazy man who just come out of the wilderness. He's dressed in camel skins. He's eating crickets, or he's eating grasshoppers and wild honey, or locusts and wild honey. And John, this is the record of John, when the Jews said, who art thou? And he confessed and denied, but confessed, I am not the Christ. You know, John didn't want any credit. We see here the humility of John. It goes on to say, and they asked, what then, are thou Elias or Elijah? They asked Elijah because, you know, in the Old Testament, it talked about Elijah was going to come back. It says it in Malachi that Elijah's going to come back. And John, he shares a really good resemblance with Elijah. He's got camel's hair on. He lives in the wilderness. He's the one having problems with the king because, you know, Elijah tells Herod, no, that woman you with, she ain't your wife. That's an unlawful marriage. And we do know that they do have John beheaded, but we know where John is. While Elijah, you know, he battled with Ahab and Jezebel. So we see those similarities. And that's why they asked if he was Elijah. He goes on to say, and he said, I am not, and thou, are you a prophet? He answered, no. Then they said unto him, who art thou that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And here's what he said. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. He never said once, I'm John. Here he's not even John the Baptist yet, because he don't baptize Jesus about 10 verses over. He just said, I'm here to tell them about the one that's coming. And wow, he is so humble in it. Because in 1:27, it says, he it is who cometh after me is preferred before me. Man, he kept saying he's preferred. For John, it's all about Jesus. There's no doubt it's all about Jesus. Before me, whose shoes latchet, I am not worthy to unloose. Wow, that's a great man right there. You know, because you know, I could probably go to any of y'all that, you know, like Skip's old, he probably can't take his shoes off too good. He'd probably be tickled to death if I come down here and unlatch his shoes. And I don't feel like I'm unworthy to do that to Skip. But you know what? I'm unworthy to touch Jesus' feet. And that's what John said. He said, he's coming. I'm unworthy to unlatch his shoes. That's the one I'm here to represent. And they still have no clue. They still have no clue who he's talking about. He is blowing these people's mind because they're looking for a different kind of king. It goes on to say, verse 30, he again talks about how he cometh after me who is preferred. We get to verse 31 through 33. And I know him not. Why do I? Yeah. And and I know him not, but that he shall be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I come baptizing with water. So he's going to baptize with water. And John bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. And so when it abode on him, we know from one of the other Gospels that God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That's when it was revealed that who Jesus was. God revealed it through John the Baptist because he was the forerunner. So for John, it was always all about Jesus. What's that tell us? Before I tell you what that tells us, back when the angel of the Lord came and told Zechariah that they were going to have a baby and that he was going to be great in the eyes of the Lord. Right here. This blew my mind, y'all. Jesus said of John the Baptist that there has been no man born of woman greater than John the Baptist. Wow. That blew my mind. 30 years later, Jesus said that. All right, so what's that mean for us? We got to be modern day John the Baptist. Amen. That's our goal. Our goal is to take as many people to heaven with us as we possibly can. But sometimes we keep Jesus like it's only for us, like it's our favorite toy. Y'all might not believe it, but when I was younger, I didn't like a lot of people to mess with my toys because some of my cousins, they would break stuff. I mean, they would get new toys, and by Christmas Day night, their toys were gone, and I still had mine, so I didn't want to mess with my stuff. But that's how we act with Jesus. We don't want to share it with people, which blows my mind. We should be like John the Baptist. He's coming. He's the preferred one. Behold the Lamb of God. That's what we need to do. But we don't. That's your job. That's my job. David mentioned this in Sunday school Sunday, and I've been thinking about it since the preacher preached on it like in January. The preacher said the goal for our church is one of us, I mean, for each of us, one person to Jesus. We're taking that serious. We are 2 months into the year, almost to the third month. Have we taken that serious? Are we got Jesus in our pocket because we don't want anybody to break it? Let's think about that tonight. So we got to be a light. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick and give us light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. We got to let other people see our joy. But they ain't going to see your joy if you're at Walmart jumping on the cashier because your bag of potato chips ring up for $2.57 instead of $2.50. It ain't her fault. And I know Madeline sitting there thinking, well, you jumped on the girl at Taco Bell, and I did, and I'm forever sorry that happened. But we got to be careful. You know, we can't be mean to the waitress just because she took an extra second to get our tea or our water and not leave her a tip. That's not showing Jesus, especially if you're wearing a Liberty FWB shirt, because she don't know where you came from. And we got to be willing to help others. You know, it's not our job to determine who should be or should not be on welfare. That's not our place. But our job is to help others. And we got to tell others what Jesus has done for us. In Matthew chapter 44, Jesus healed the leper, and he told him to tell no man. But the Bible says, in Matthew 1:44, it says, and he says to him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out, the leper went out, and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Man, he published it much. He published it so much that Jesus couldn't even go out no more. His popularity became so great. Wouldn't it be great if we publicized it so much that we came in Sunday morning and they wasn't nowhere to sit? We had to bring out chairs. But we ain't doing it, and I don't know why. And I'm talking to me, too. But we got to publish it much. Let them know that he is the way. John 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No matter what the world says, we know that he is the way. So again, we got to be like John the Baptist. We got to say, behold the Son of God, which shall take away the sins of the world. So how can you witness? The best way you can witness is to tell your story. It's personal, what Jesus has done for you. How you used to live, ever how you used to live, whatever you used to do, and God took that from you. God took that addiction from you. God saved your soul. It might have been that you were just a proud person, and now you're the most humble person in the world. God did that. It wasn't nothing you did, because God changes lives, and that's our testimony right there. That's our testimony, what God did for you. If y'all remember that, I think we can grow the kingdom of God. If y'all stand, Ralph, if you want to come to the piano and play for a song, just play some music.